Take your Bibles and go to the last book in your Bible, Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Revelation chapter 12. I'll read verse 1. You read verse 2 with me. Revelation chapter 12. And look at verse number 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your holy, pure, and precious words. Lord, please use this for your glory. And Lord, may we love you more and walk with you more because of what we learn from your word. Help us to believe what we read and then live, Lord, accordingly, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your Bibles open. There are several themes throughout the Bible. And when we talk about a theme, we're talking about a teaching that runs from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. One theme could be Jesus is a theme and he is seen in every book of the Bible. That's not the Bible study tonight, but we could take the Lord Jesus as a theme. We could take salvation as a theme and look at it all the way through the Bible. I want to take one thing tonight, and before I tell it to you, but I want to show you the text verse here. In Revelation chapter 12, this is the halfway point of the Revelation. So the tribulation is 7 years long. When you hit chapter 12, 3.5 years of tribulation have taken place. Now the next 3.5 years are the great tribulation. And that is when Satan is cast out of heaven and he personifies the Antichrist. So you've got the tribulation. And when you read Revelation 12, you hit the midpoint of the tribulation. What you're getting ready to read is about Satan pursuing the woman. Let's look at it and look at verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. You say, what is that talking about? If you write in your Bible, right next to the word woman, that is Israel. You say, what proves that to you? All you have to do is read Genesis 37, verses 9 to 10. We're not going to do that tonight, but that shows you. I feel sorry for the people that are YouTube trained. They'll watch something stupid on YouTube, the Book of Enoch or the Flat Earth or all this garbage. No, the woman is not the church. The woman is Israel. And so, just put that there. Look at verse 2. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. You're at the end of the world in the tribulation. It's been 6,000 years of history. 5,000. The last 1,000 is getting ready to begin. And God is saying, this woman Israel, from her conception, has strained to bring forth this child. Who is this child? Look at the next verse. Well, verse 3 tells you here, they want you to see the other character, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. The word dragon is mentioned 13 times in the book of Revelation. 13 is the number of sin all throughout the scripture. The dragon amazes me, the infatuation with dragons nowadays. I mean, from movie titles to everything, the dragon is Satan. It is the biblical theme all the way through. It says here, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. So this dragon is Satan. Verse number 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Who are the stars? The stars of the angels. It is this verse that we used to say when Satan fell, he led 1/3 of the angels in heaven to rebel against God with him. There's 3 archangels, Michael and Gabriel and Lucifer. Gabriel is the messenger angel. Michael is the fighting angel, the one with a sword by his side. He protects Israel. And then Lucifer was in charge of God's music. So when Lucifer rebelled, he took 1/3 of the angels in heaven. That's the verse we use. And that's why there are demons. We would call them demons on the earth under the control of Satan, just like angels are under the control of God. Okay, keep on reading here. And did cast them to the earth, and then watch this, and the dragon, that's Satan, stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, and then watch his purpose, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. The wording in the Bible is very specific. And God says, He's giving you an overview of what's happened since Israel has become a nation. And what Satan is trying to do is devour this child as soon as it's born so it can't grow up and destroy him. And I'll show you that here in just a second. So it's very important that you understand verse 4. And she brought forth a man-child. We know that this is Jesus, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Where's Jesus now? Seated at the right hand of the Father after making the sacrifice for our sins and rising from the dead. From this passage, the woman is Israel. Notice this, the man child is the Lord Jesus. When you were born a child, male or female, but you were not born a man child. I'll show you that to you in just a little bit. As a male, you were born a child. But the Lord Jesus Christ is different from anyone who's ever been born. He was born as a man child. The devil wanted to destroy the man child as soon as he was born, because it's the only thing that would destroying it would be the only thing that would preserve Satan's empire and prevent sinners from getting saved. Now take your Bible and go to the first book of the Bible and look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. While you're going to Genesis chapter 3, John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says here, tonight's Bible study, I think in doing this, it's going to answer some questions. I think you're going to see the focus all through the Bible, and we'll definitely go through Genesis, and then we'll end back in Revelation. But John 8:44 says this, Jesus taught us of Satan. He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. That's why we say, when a person is lost and they're not saved, God calls them a child of hell. There's many titles. They're also called a child of the devil, because when you get saved, you become a child of God, right? So here in John 8:44 that I'm reading to you, and I know we didn't go to it, but Jesus said, he's talking to lost people, are of your father, the devil. He's talking to Pharisees. And he says, he, Satan, was a murderer from the beginning. Jesus said, from the very onset of history, Satan was a murderer and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Satan is a murderer and a liar. To understand the Revelation, chapter 12, we go to the first prophecy in the Bible. Do you all see Genesis chapter 3, verse 1? In Genesis 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." Notice it's the serpent. In Revelation chapter 12, it's 5,000 years later, and that same serpent is called the old serpent. Same thing, but now he's 5,000 years old, and he is the old Satan, or the old Lucifer. Look at Genesis 3:14. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And then verse 15 is the first prophecy of the Lord Jesus in your Bible. And notice, verse 15 ought to be marked. There's a lot in it, but watch this. "And I will put enmity or war between thee," Satan, "and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." So God is talking, and he tells Satan, the seed that comes from you, I'm going to put war between your seed, Satan's seed or children, and the seed of the woman. What is the seed of Satan? The Antichrist. That's a study that you could do all the way through your Bible. That's an amazing study. But so you have God saying what comes from Satan is going to fight with the seed of the woman. What is that talking about? In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 16, it says this. Just listen, because I'm going to try to keep you in Genesis here for a little bit. Galatians 3 says, "To the Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many," listen closely, "but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Galatians 3:16 says, Genesis 3:15, when it says thy seed and the seed of the woman, you could underline that word seed and put Galatians 3:16, that's Jesus right there. The seed of the woman is Jesus. I know there's a lot in that, but if we're comparing spiritual things with spiritual, I'm just laying a little bit of groundwork here before we get into this. But that seed of the woman is what is going to be fought against throughout the whole Bible. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. God told Satan that the seed of the woman would then, notice this, it, in verse 15, "it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." I watched one preacher one time take that word "it," and he traced it all the way through the gospel, through the Bible, and ended up in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And that word "it," there's so much in Genesis 3:15. There's a lot there. We're not looking at that tonight. I want to focus on the word "the seed." But so Satan starts doing everything in his power to destroy the offspring of the woman as soon as it's born, because God told Satan, the seed that comes from the woman is going to crush your head. How do you kill a snake? You crush its head, the serpent. So Satan is told by God, a woman is going to give birth to the man that's going to destroy you. So Satan now knows this all the way through the Bible. Satan knows, nobody knows who it is, but he does know if the baby that comes from the woman lives long enough and grows in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, like it says in Luke 2:52, that seed of the woman is going to overthrow the devil's control and reign upon this earth. You're in Genesis 3:15, go to Genesis 4. Look at verse 1. Remember, Revelation told you that this woman struggles to bring forth a child. You could look at that as a history, one part of the history of the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, notice what she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She didn't say, I've gotten a child from the Lord. She said, I have got, here's what Eve was thinking this. She heard what God told Satan. And she heard God say, a woman is going to give birth to a man that is going to crush Satan. So here's Eve's hope. I've gotten the man. This is the man from the Lord that is going to crush Satan's and send us, allow us to go back into the garden like it was before we sinned against God. She's saying, I've received a man from the Lord. Verse number 2. And she again bare his brother Abel. That's why there's one conception, but two people are born. Some think Cain and Abel were fraternal twins. It doesn't say that, but one conception, two births, lends itself to it. It's not a big issue. You say, why are you saying that? I have a tendency to think because she said that about Cain, but not about Abel, I think she was thinking Cain is the one that's going to help us get back into the garden, into paradise. I can't help but think, I wonder if there was favoritism. It doesn't say she said anything when Abel was born. It said when Cain was born, this is it. This is the man from the Lord. Let's keep on reading here. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, when you read that, you find out in Hebrews 11:4, just stick with me while I help you with this passage. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Cain and Abel were both told the word of God, what it took to please God. It takes the blood of the innocent to pay for the sin of the guilty. It's been that way from Genesis, and it has stayed that way. The blood has to be shed for forgiveness of sin to be received. It will never change. That's God's standard. Watch this. Cain did not bring it by faith. He said, well, I would not rather get a sheep from Abel. I'd rather bring some of my harvest. So he brings a bunch of vegetables. Abel brings a sheep, cuts its throat, the blood flows, God accepts the slain lamb and rejects the vegetable, I guess you could say the offering. Verse 5, unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And then notice, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Look at verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now, according to John 8:44, Satan's the murderer from the beginning, so Cain is the first murderer fulfilling Satan's will. In the lust of his flesh, killing his brother, and from Genesis 4 on, you have the history of the world. You have people who are saved by grace, Abel, who obey the Bible, being killed by people who believe you're saved by works. Cain. Genesis 4 carries on through. Notice this. The first murder, I already told you, was because salvation by works was jealous over God accepting salvation only by blood. Cain was used of Satan. Kill Abel because Satan thought that Abel was going to be the one God was going to use to kill Satan. Think about this. Satan heard Eve say, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And the moment Cain was born, Satan started working on Cain. I believe this is the one that's going to destroy me, so I'm going to destroy him. And what happens? Cain ends up being one of the wickedest men in the Bible. Satan saw God accept Abel's offering and reject Cain's. And so Satan is thinking Abel now, who's going to bring God and man back. I think it went back and forth, and I think Satan said, it's Cain. And then when God saw Abel get his offering accepted, he said, no, it's Abel. and God destroyed both of them. God killed Abel, and Cain obviously ends up being a nomad. Now, notice verse 25. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, and she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So, guess who heard that? Satan. So Satan is going, there's another one that's born. So now Seth. And it says in verse 26, and to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Notice these words, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I wanted you to know who Seth is. Seth is the one who Adam and Eve give birth to after Cain murders Abel. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Notice verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now it doesn't say how old they were when Cain and Abel were born, but it does say when he was 135 years old, Seth is born. This is a seed here, and watch this. I don't know how many sons Adam had, but God singled Seth out. Seth, as men begin to multiply, who begat who with the genealogies? Okay, chapter 5. Then chapter 6 takes place. Notice this, chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So guess what starts to happen? In the Old Testament, sons of God are angels. That's shown by Job chapter 1. We could go, but anytime you see sons of God in the Old Testament, that's angels. Anytime you see sons of God in the New Testament, that's us. That's people who are saved, right? So the sons of God, angels, started procreating with humans and DNA manipulation began. What is Satan trying to do in Genesis 6? Corrupt the seed. He's got to stop anything that any woman is having, and he's got to destroy it because he doesn't know who it is, but he has to corrupt the seed. And then what happens in Genesis 6? The human race becomes so corrupt that God destroys it and only preserves Adam and his, says the generations of Noah were perfect. His generations, his genes, he was uncorrupted by the sons of God or the angels. You know, it's interesting. I know this isn't the Bible study, but if you're thinking with me, what did Jesus tell us? Just like it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be in the coming of the Son of Man. Yes, there's going to be violence. Yes, there's going to be immorality. But why would God destroy the world? Because Satan leads his angels to corrupt the seed of the woman, and the human race and the DNA manipulation becomes so vile that God says, kill them all. Guess where it's going before Jesus comes? DNA manipulation. Did you know they can manipulate the DNA of a soldier now to where they can give soldiers night vision? You know, the thing you put goggles on that you can see? They can adjust human DNA now to the point where a soldier can have night vision. They're getting into it. Science is very heavily into DNA manipulation. The way it's justified is this. They can take the DNA of a mosquito and trim its ability to carry malaria. They're already into DNA manipulation. They're doing it with animals. They're already into the cloning. Just like it was in Genesis 6 in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. That's another thing. That's another reason I think Jesus is coming. They're getting to where they can, that's why all this stuff, when people are taking selfies and, oh, I want to look like this, it's going to the place where if you want your hair, natural hair color changed, you can go to a specialist They can inject you with a DNA alterer and alter your eye color, your hair color, your ear size. Anything about you can now be altered medically. So when you read your Bible, why would God destroy the whole earth? Because Satan is saying, I don't know who it is, but just corrupt all of them. And everything becomes so corrupt that God destroys the world and starts over. What's happening? Satan is fighting against the seed of the woman. He's been doing it since Adam and Eve. It is now several hundred years after that, and it gets into, I think you could say, 1600 years. And God says, now I'm going to destroy the world again because of the corruption. Look at verse 8 here. It just says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations or genes of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations or genes. And Noah walked with God. So there you have, look at verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Who did that? Satan and his fighting against the seed of the woman. You've got a synopsis here. God has one man and his sons build an ark because the earth is not a fit place for anybody to live on anymore. Then Nimrod leads a rebellion against God in Genesis 11, and they try to build a tower to heaven without God. God comes down, confounds their languages, scatters the people. Now go to Genesis 12 and watch what happens here in verse 1. So the whole population of the earth has been reduced to 8 people, Noah, his sons, and their wives. It starts over again, and you have chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Notice verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And notice this, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's Jesus. God was telling Abraham, I'm going to use you to bring Jesus into the world that'll make salvation available for all mankind. Satan hears that. So, now the war starts. It's going again. Satan's on the watch for this woman. God scatters the human race throughout the earth. He chooses one man, Abraham. Abraham becomes the subject of God's attention from Genesis 12 all the way to Matthew 26. The rest of the Old Testament is about Abraham and his family. Listen closely. Until you get to Matthew 26, it's all about the Jews. What's Matthew 26? That's the crucifixion of Jesus. So the rest of your Bible, until you get to the start of the New Testament, you could say, is about the Jews. So listen closely. The devil ignores Asia. He ignores Africa. He ignores China. He ignores Russia. And he ignores the Americas and Europe, and he sets out to destroy this one family. That's why your Bible is about, that's one reason, there's several reasons, but your Bible is about the history of the Jews and Israel, because that is the people that God used to give us our Bible and to give us the Lord Jesus. So now Satan is focusing on destroying the Jews. Has anybody ever thought this out? The world can't figure it out. But the history of Abraham's children is a nonstop attempt by one group of people to another to exterminate them. Has anybody thought about this? Why is there so much unrest in the Middle East? Here we go. What is the word we use for the term hating Jews? It's called anti-Semitism, right? So if you hate Jews, or if you hate Israel, like some of our senators do, if you hate them, you're called an anti-Semitist. Think with me, just for a second. What's the term for hating Russians? I'm not for you hating anybody. I'm saying they have a term for hating Israel, and you're called an anti-Semitist. The whole world knows that. The whole world knows that. What do you, okay, what's the term if you hate Chinese people? There is no term. What if you don't like Spanish people? I didn't say I didn't like Spanish people. Don't take it too. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's a term that the whole world knows. If you hate Israel, this is what you're called. There's not a term for hating other people like that. Why? Because Satan hates Abraham and his family. Abraham marries Sarah. They have no children. In their lack of faith, Satan tempts Sarah to encourage her husband to have an affair with their Egyptian handmaid, Hagar. That's Genesis 16. Satan attempts. He knows that Abraham, through him, the whole families of the, every family will be blessed. So he has to stop it. So he tempts Sarah. He said somehow Sarah's going to have a child even though she's 80, 90 years old. And he tempts, he says, so guess what happened? Now, they have a illegitimate son, and Satan attempts to corrupt the seed, and Ishmael is born, the father of the Arabs, who would fight against Israel until they're destroyed in the second coming of Jesus. God gives Abraham and Sarah, finally, a child, Isaac. Jacob tricks Esau out of the birthright. That's Genesis 25. Esau vows to kill Jacob. Esau spends the rest of his life trying to kill Jacob, and he would have done it had it not been for God's intervention. Esau, who's Esau? Esau is Edom, Saudi Arabia. That's pretty common knowledge. I don't expect you to understand all the areas of the Bible, but Jacob then wrestles with God, and his name is changed to Israel. Jacob is changed to Israel. Israel has 12 sons. Of the 12, one is chosen to have favor above all the others. Who is that? Joseph. Joseph, the coat of many colors. Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus and how he was rejected by his brethren and would bring salvation. Go to Genesis 37. Jacob is favored, as he favored Joseph, it allowed the devil to use Joseph's brothers to hate him and want him dead. They throw him in a pit, sell him as a slave, dip his coat in blood, lie to their father about Joseph. The devil is having a heyday in Genesis 37 as Joseph is sold and thinking he is destroying the one that's going to destroy him. Remember, Satan's eye is on Abraham and his family. He doesn't know who it is. He thinks it's Joseph. Look at Genesis 37, verse 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph. And in here, Genesis 37 is the story of them throwing him in a pit and selling him into slavery. So here is Satan fighting against the seed of the woman. But the Lord was with Joseph. In Potiphar's house, his wife lies about him. Being lied about. He then, as he flees fornication, he is sent to the prison, and Satan is trying to destroy Joseph as he's in Egypt. We all know that, praise the Lord, he fails. Genesis 39, that's Genesis 39. Now, in the jail, he's forgotten by the butler. And Joseph, in Genesis 40, every time you turn the page, Satan is working to destroy the one that's going to kick him in the head. After all of Satan's attempts to destroy him, Joseph ends up the second in command under Pharaoh. God used the famine to bring Joseph's family to Egypt to preserve and multiply them. Hundreds turned to thousands, thousands turned to tens of thousands, until finally there's millions of Jews in Egypt. As Africans enslaved the Jews, Israel multiplied. Then Satan stirred Pharaoh's heart to make the bondage bitter and kill the babies. Why? Okay, now go to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. Notice this. Look at verse number 16. Exodus 1, 16. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. What kind of a person would tell somebody to kill babies? the moment they're born. Sounds a lot like what we're doing in America, doesn't it? After birth abortions, it's sick. But that's the devil. The devil says that's Abraham's family. That's of the lineage. When those he doesn't know who it is, but he through Pharaoh says as the baby's being born, the midwives are supposed to snap the necks of the babies as they're born. But they can't do it because if you're a midwife, you like dealing with children. Right? So if no midwife has a heart to kill a baby. They're a midwife because they like babies. So they get the wrong person to try to kill and exterminate. But once again, Satan is trying to kill the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham. Why? Because that seed is going to destroy him. Look at Exodus chapter 2. Watch this. So that fails because no Jewish babies die, right? Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife to a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she saw he was goodly, when you read Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, when Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw there was something special about Moses. So Moses' mama, he gets birthed. Praise the Lord, no Hebrew children are dying, but this Moses is seen as special. The mom puts him in a basket, sends him, he's found by Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter should have called her secret service agents and had him come and drown the baby, but she didn't. God touched her heart to say, raise that boy. And what was happening? Through all of this killing of the children, Satan is now starting to notice God's focus on Moses, and he tries to have Moses killed. So guess what happens? In Exodus, God uses Pharaoh's daughter to preserve him. He's raised in the palace. He kills an Egyptian. At age 40 to 80, he's on the backside of the desert raising sheep, and then God calls him at age 80 to set the children of Israel free from bondage through 9 plagues and the 10th of the death angel. The one that would do battle with Pharaoh, it's just amazing. The one that would do battle with Pharaoh 40 years later was raised in his house. That was Moses. That was Moses. Now, you got Satan used Pharaoh now in another attempt to kill. Go to Exodus 14. As a matter of fact, we read it this morning, but now God brings every Hebrew child, every person from Abraham to a place in Exodus 14 where there's mountains on this side, mountains on this side, this Red Sea in front of them, and the Egyptian army behind them. And guess what Satan's trying to do? Kill them. Kill every one of those seed because one of those is going to grow up and crush my head. Satan's trying to kill the seed of the woman. That's Exodus 14. Exodus 14. All so far, we all know what happens. They cross over on dry ground and the Egyptian army is slain. All of Satan's attempt to kill them has now failed and God has intervened. Listen closely. All the murmuring and the complaining after they left Egypt, the reports of the 12 spies, all but 2 of them died in the wilderness. All of the idolatry in Exodus 32, all of the rebellion, Korah's rebellion in Numbers 16, all of the fornication from Numbers 22 to 25, Satan tries to attack them the 40 years there in the wilderness, and he's trying to get them to live in such a way that God has to kill them. So he gets them involved in idolatry and gets them involved in, once again, the sex outside of marriage. And he's trying to cause God to kill them. What's happening? Satan is trying to kill the seed of the woman. Solomon, David's son, comes to the throne. He marries outlandish wives, and he builds them idol houses. 1 Kings chapter 11. I know we're not looking at that. Just think with me. Idolatry had a death penalty. It was a death penalty offense. What was Satan trying to lead Solomon to do? To be killed. Was Solomon? No. But idolatry was a death penalty offense. Satan's trying to kill the seed of the woman. Solomon is 100% responsible for his sin, but I'm just trying to point out an angle tonight. Satan was trying to take Solomon out. About 900 years before the birth of Jesus, Jehu is trying to rid the country of the worship of Baal. Jehu slays Ahaziah and Jezebel. And if you thought Jezebel was bad, Athaliah is worse. Can you take your Bible? Can you go to 2 Chronicles 22? 2 Chronicles is in the Old Testament, chapter 22, and look at verse 8. And it came to pass that when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab and found the princes of Judah. Look, Jesus is called in Revelation the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So the princes of Judah, the seed of Judah. Watch what happens. And the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them. Notice verse 10. But when Athaliah, this is Ahab's daughter, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead. Notice what this woman, this is one of the wickedest women in the Bible. Notice how she's used of the devil. She arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. What is Satan doing? He's saying, kill all those boys. Because it looks like he's trying to destroy the king that will come through the bloodline. Praise the Lord, he doesn't. Through God's intervention, he doesn't succeed. And one of the boys is saved and comes back, and Athaliah is screaming treason, you know, treason! This is the only queen that ruled in Israel. And of course, you could read that in 2 Kings 11 also. Now, God gives details concerning the kings of Israel, because Jesus would come through their lineage. This is why Jesus, I told you, is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The devil would have succeeded, but God allowed Josiah to be hid for 6 years. Started out, listen closely, that's synopsis what we've studied tonight. Started out as one man in Genesis. Then Satan was trying to kill all of the family. Now Satan's back down to killing one person again, and God raises up a woman to hide him, Josiah, for 6 years. In the days of Isaiah, God asked Ahaz to ask him a sign. After Solomon, the devil is now going to cause civil war. Israel is going to split north and the south, and Israel's going to be used to fight against both of them. Now, take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 7. Remember Genesis 3:15. It's the first prophecy of the Lord Jesus. And it's where Satan says there's going to come a man-child that is born of a woman, and he's going to crush the head of the serpent. It went from one man to the group. Now it's back down to one man. And notice what happens in Isaiah chapter 7. I know it's a familiar verse, but notice verse 10. Isaiah chapter 7, and look at verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? So the context is, God says, ask me a sign. Ask of me to show you something supernatural. I'm not going to do that. He says, I'm telling you, ask me of a sign. And look, I think verse 14 is your famous verse. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And notice, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Remember the seed of the woman? God saying, I'm going to use a woman to bring the seed into the world that will crush the serpent's head. Ah, so now I've got to focus on a woman. Nobody knows who it is. It just says a virgin. That's never happened before. So Satan is, y'all understand, Satan is trying to preserve himself, and he says, I've got to kill that seed. I've got to kill that seed. So the Jews are now sent. Well, let me say this. After Satan had spent the last 3,000 years trying to kill the males, God announces that he's going to do it without a man. You can kill and start all the wars you want. And God said, but I'm going to get a virgin and put a baby in her womb. And just like I said in Genesis 3, but you didn't get it then, God is the only one who could do that. The only one. Now, the Jews are sent into captivity to Babylon. The seed royal, Daniel, is brought to the place, the palace, and made eunuchs. Out of all those that are taken into captivity, only four are faithful. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so to destroy the seed royal, Satan doesn't know who it is. What did he do? They're all turned into eunuchs and made unable to have children or to father children. What's Satan doing? He's trying to destroy the seed. He's trying to destroy the seed. God uses a slave girl. Take the book of Esther. Haman is used of God in an attempt to exterminate the Jews. That fails. Esther is chosen as queen, and God uses her and Mordecai to preserve Israel. What was happening in the book of Esther? Satan was trying to destroy the seed, to wipe out the Jewish race. It failed. Praise the Lord. God uses a slave girl born in captivity, and she is so pretty that she wins the beauty contest to be queen so she can be used to petition the king to save her people. Guess who God used in the book of Esther? A woman. A woman. The devil is trying to figure it out. Who's going to kick him in the head? And when he can't figure it out, he just tries to kill them all. Take your Bible and I'll go to the New Testament. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. But if I could show you this theme that's all through the Bible, there's a reason Revelation says the woman travailed to bring this child forth. Because from Genesis all the way through the Bible, it has been a fight from Satan to destroy that family because he knows Jesus is coming. You're in Galatians chapter 4. Watch this. Look at verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So the Son of God entered a woman's body. Mary is not the mother of God, praise the Lord. Mary is the vessel in which a body was formed that God came to live in. The eternal God, Micah 5:2, stepped into a holy thing, Luke 1:5, into which the everlasting Father would reside, Isaiah 9:6, the everlasting Father. That's one of the titles of Jesus. Mary's body or womb was prepared, Hebrews 10:5, into which one who predated Abraham came to dwell, John chapter 8. I know I just covered a lot, but stick with me. What happened when Jesus came? John chapter 16. As a matter of fact, take your Bible. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to John chapter 16 and look at verse 21. Let's think about this thing. A man child is born. A man child. Just want to show you something, and I think you'll enjoy it, but look at John 16 and look at verse 21. A woman, when she is in, Jesus is teaching here, and he says, a woman when she is in travail, I'm in John 16, 21, hath sorrow, because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, notice this, she remembereth no more the anguish, watch, for joy that a man is born into the world. That sounds odd. It doesn't say a babe is born into the world. It doesn't say a child is born into the world. It says a man is born. Listen closely. One woman in history, the virgin, Isaiah 7, gave birth to a baby who was not starting out in life. He always had been. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is teaching about himself. He said, a woman, everything else, praise the Lord, is called a baby. Amen? One woman in history gave birth to the one who is life, that man-child. The Son of God, the man, Christ Jesus, was born in Bethlehem. Amen? Joseph ruled in Egypt. David ruled in Jerusalem. Daniel ruled in the palace of Babylon. Esther ruled in the palace of Persia. But Mary was poor, Joseph was poor. Both Mary and Joseph were so poor, they couldn't even offer a regular offering. They offered what? Turtle doves. That was the poorest offering of the poorest people in the land. Mary and Joseph were poverty. They were in poverty. And now, guess what happens? Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 1. We're coming to a close here. Watch this. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Okay, we've gone through this before, but what they're trying to say in verse 2, God's trying to show us, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. In other words, they hadn't always done this tax. This is the first time in the history of the world that people have to go back to their birthplace to pay their tax or they lose their land. What is happening? Satan knows that Mary is the virgin with child. And so what's trying to happen? Satan's trying to destroy that seed of the woman. And so all this is now in the working. We see Satan trying to destroy the seed of the woman. And you know that the devil is hoping that that child is lost while they take that horrible journey from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. 2 years later, Matthew chapter 2, go to Matthew chapter 2. 2 years later, a caravan from the east arrives in Jerusalem. Of course, this is the wise men that come from the east. This 2 years later, all right, it's 2 years later, and they look at verse 1. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Satan hears that. It's him. It's him. I've got to destroy him. Let me give you the rest of the story. They go to Jesus, give him the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They depart. Herod finds out he's been deceived. And what goes out from Satan? Once again, kill every baby 2 years and younger. What is Satan trying to do? Destroy the seed of the woman. Kill them all. Kill every one of them. Mary and Joseph escape to Egypt. And, praise the Lord, God's intervention, Satan isn't able to destroy the seed. Many times, then, in the book of John, the Jews tried to stone and kill Jesus, but it was not allowed because it was not his time. Jesus told Satan when he tempted him, when he was tempted of Satan, "I'm going to take your kingdom from you, but not on your terms." Remember, what did Satan do? He took Jesus to a temple and he said, "If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of these kingdoms." And Jesus said, "No, I'm going to get all your kingdoms, but not by worshiping you. I'm going to a cross and I'm going to die for the sins of mankind, and I'm going to take your kingdoms and crush your head." Amen. Satan, right, that's Matthew chapter 4. Through the book of John, they tried to kill Jesus. It wasn't time yet. And then the closest they ever came was Luke chapter 4, but it says he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Why don't we close with this? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. From the Garden of Gethsemane to Calvary, when Jesus started sweating great drops of blood as he prayed, and then they come and they take him, Satan was having a heyday. Satan was finally feeling like he had won after 4,000 years of history. I finally have him. And he goes through the scourging and through the beating and the soldiers mocking him and beating the crown of thorns on his head. And Satan is thinking, "I'm finally there. I finally got the seed of the woman." God knew what was going on. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory," watch this, "which none of the princes of this world knew." Watch. "For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Satan's having a heyday while he's watching Jesus get spit on and smacked and nailed and beaten. And the Bible plainly says Satan didn't know what was going on. Because if he would have known, he's bringing salvation to mankind. He's making it available so sinners can be saved. And the Bible plainly says, if Satan would have known that, he would never have had the party that he was having while Jesus was dying. Jesus was in full control, praise the Lord. He's saying, I got this, because I'm not staying in the grave. Yeah, it's Wednesday, but Sunday's coming, amen? Now, watch this. Let's just go to Hebrews chapter 2, and from there we'll close it. Hebrews chapter 2, and look at verse 9. I know this is a different Bible study. It's a perspective. You're keeping your eyes on Jesus. We know he wins. But can you see the murderer and liar from the beginning work? Like Revelation 12 says, to fight that woman as she brings forth the child. It's coming through Abraham's family, and you're watching in the whole history of your Bible, Satan fight to destroy that seed. He can't do it, praise the Lord. Look at what happened on the cross, Hebrews chapter 2, and look at verse 9. But we see Jesus, who's made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Look down at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself, likewise, took part of the same. This is the part I just want you to see, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. On the cross, Jesus crushed the head of the serpent. When Adam sinned in the garden, what was given to Satan was the dominion that Adam had, the kingdom. That's why Satan is the small g god of this world right now. God's in control. But Adam sinned, and that dominion went to Satan. For the past 5,000 years, 6,000 years, Satan has, that's why the world's in the mess that it's in, suffering and pain and death and disease. When Jesus died on the cross, he conquered Satan. Jesus could have taken the kingdom from Satan anytime he wanted it, but the devil still would have had the authority to kill us. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners from eternal death, and Jesus knew he was going to get the kingdom to reign in the millennium 2,000 years later after he died. So Jesus didn't mind. What Jesus wanted to do was save us from the devil's power or authority to kill us. Everybody see that in verse number 14? When Jesus died on the cross, he took the power of death, the authority of death from Satan. Now Satan no longer has the authority to kill us since Calvary. Amen? That was the devil's weapon. Now, to wrap up tonight, what was the prophecy? The prophecy in Genesis 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And in John 19:30, what did Jesus cry on the cross? It is finished. It is finished. The head of the serpent has been crushed. As you look at this theme through the Bible, tonight I wanted to show you Satan has fought. And God gives you a synopsis. Revelation's an amazing book. Every word is of God. But God gives you a synopsis of world history. And we looked at one theme tonight, praise the Lord, how God used a woman to bring the seed into the world that would set us free and conquer death and make salvation available. Aren't you glad? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again. Lord, I know that we took a journey, and Lord, I didn't want to bite off more than we could chew.